You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
I'm Nick Westergaard, and this is On Brand, helping you tell your story. My guest this week is Brad Flowers.
Putting aside whether we're thinking about color or photo style or logo design or specifically names, you know, it's putting aside our personal preference and putting in the time to dig into what really works and what does the client need, and creating something together that kind of achieves that end. And is it something that's we think is going to be award-winning or whatever, but something that really works for them and helps their business.
Brad co-founded Bullhorn in 2008. Brad's degree in literature serves him well in his strategy, language, and naming work. It only helps a little in his operational work, which is primarily informed by 10 years of on-the-job training. Brad is also an avid bicyclist for commuting and for competition. He co-founded and currently serves on the board of the nonprofit community bike shop, Broke Spoke. He's also author of The Naming Book from Entrepreneur Press. Brad, welcome to On Brand.
Hey, thanks, Nick. I'm excited to chat with you.
Yes, and Brad, you have the rare distinction. There's only a handful of return guests here on the On Brand podcast. But when someone has done something interesting, done something special, something new that we can talk about, that's great. I think Tom Peters is a repeat guest. Mm. I think Seth Godin is a repeat guest. So
wow. Can we get like a t-shirt or a commemorative pin or something?
I thought you might ask that. I've got nothing. There's no gold watch. It's just the honor of gracing the on-brand airwaves.
I'll tell you, it feels great.
Well, that is great. But what excited me about having you back on was what I just alluded to in your bio there at the end, and that is this new book that you have, the naming book, which, it's got to be somewhat meta because naming, and we'll get into it in a bit, is something that we wring our hands about, is one of the hardest things in the work that we do.
Yes.
And titling a book is sort of the analog of that. But I feel like you've given it a hell of a name in that it's the naming book. And I'm sure that wasn't easy, or maybe it was.
No, it was awful. I'll tell you the truth. It was awful. The premise of the book is that as namers, you kind of have to get over yourself. And the point is you create your criteria list, you know, work, put in the time, and trust the criteria and the process. And at the end of that, you know, I ended up with a name, the naming book, because I wanted something that people could immediately understand what it is. They didn't have to, like, it wasn't too clever. They didn't have to figure it out. So as a namer, it feels so underwhelming. It's kind of like embarrassingly underwhelming, but it works. And so that's the point. The point of the book is kind of like sometimes something that works is more important than something that you like. And so while it maybe wasn't my favorite, I think it ended up being the best name. And so that's what we get.
Well, and I feel like maybe it's a leading question. I feel like that's probably a big lesson that we have to learn about naming, that sometimes we want the cute, we want the clever, and that's not necessarily maybe where we should be focused.
Yeah, I think that's definitely the biggest part of our work, probably in general as a branding agency, is putting aside whether we're thinking about color or photo style or logo design or specifically names. You know, it's putting aside our personal preference and putting in the time to dig into what really works and what does the client need, and creating something together that kind of achieves that end. And is it something that's, that we think is going to be award-winning or whatever, but something that really works for them and helps their business.
You know, that's so true. And one thing I think is interesting, you talked about your agency work at Bullhorn, and there is a strategy. I mean, a lot of times when we write books, it's something that we feel like we need to share. And there are, when you're in a professional services firm, there is a professional advantage to building your own brand, to being able to point to that book. And in everything of the work that you do, kind of building on that personal preference versus what's the client need, what led you to, you know what we need to focus on, where our agency, where me as a brand builder, Brad Flowers, needs to be able to point to and have some concentrated thought leadership on? What led you back to naming?
That's a great question. And like most things of value, probably it goes back to a felt need. And so we didn't start off doing naming. We started off with more generalist marketing services. And then over time, we kind of have focused on three things. We've wanted to see what's the kind of work that makes us, that's profitable. What are we good at and enjoy doing? And then the third is what benefits our community in some degree. And as we've grown and changed, our definition of community, of course, has grown and changed. So we were hired to do a naming project. A nonprofit was changing. They were changing to the degree to which they felt like they needed a new name. And it was kind of terrifying and exhilarating and ultimately really fun. And so we started promoting that, doing more naming work. Over time, I felt like, okay, this like Wild West approach is getting old. Like, we really need like something that's repeatable and less stressful, frankly. Also, I was at the point where I needed to hire freelancers and also some of our other writers here. I needed to give them a way of go, okay, so we know what the client wants to do. Now, what are the tangible steps to get to some actual names? And so I started doing the research. I looked at all the popular naming books, and most of those fall into a couple of categories. They're either the kind of the backstory of brand names, which is interesting, but not super helpful for this particular thing. And, or the other is there are people who are experts in naming and they tell you what kind of names they like. And that's also helpful to know kind of what makes a good name, but also it doesn't help you generate names. And so through that process, I kind of realized that we needed to create this process internally. And if it was this hard for us to figure out how to create this process, you know, what about the entrepreneur who really only wants to create one name and then never think about naming again and go on to the thousand other, you know, harder decisions that they need to make? And so I really wrote the book with the person, the non-naming professional in mind. I tried to make it as process-oriented as possible and as jargon-free as possible. And so that they can just get to work the process, have a list of good names, have the criteria to kind of judge which names are going to be the best, and then get on with their lives. And so while I started writing it internally, I think ultimately I kind of felt that there was an opportunity for something bigger. And so that's kind of how it ended up growing from an outline to give to my coworkers to a full-fledged book.
That's a great story, and of just continuing to drill down and to find that focus too, and who it's written for. I love what you said about the, I think we as marketers, as brand builders, get off into the tall grass a lot and forget about, like you said, that person who wants to name something and be done with it and on to the next thing.
Yep.
And I think that focus is great. And you talk about the process, making it process oriented. So while I know I can't say, Brad Flowers, give us the 30-minute podcast episode recap of the entire book. What's the elevator pitch? If you say, naming, I haven't thought about that. What's the approach of the naming book?
Sure. So I think initially I started off thinking there were two hard things about naming. And now the more I think about it, I think there are actually three hard things about naming. And so the book gets at all three of these things. One is, how do you develop the criteria to decide what makes a name good? This is the step that 10 out of 10 people creating a name skip. And it's, in my opinion, the most important step, because if you don't create a strong criteria list, you're kind of left with personal preference and your personal intuitions. Unless you create brand names for a living all the time, your personal intuitions probably aren't very good. And then two, the second hard thing is generating lots of ideas. I think culturally we are taught and kind of oriented towards converging upon the right answer. And as a namer or like a creative person in general, this is really a divergent thinking task. And so the first step is about criteria. The middle three steps are all about how to think divergently and generate a wide list of names across name types. And I kind of lay out the types, but then also process. So like, how do you do brainstorming? And most people think about brainstorming in the wrong sorts of ways. And I help you do it in a more productive way, especially if you're working in groups, but also if you're working alone, give you some good starting points so that, you know, looking at that blank page is the hardest part. And so writing a couple of prompts, getting things going can help a lot. So the middle three are oriented around getting lots and lots of ideas. So then with the third thing, that's I think the third hard thing about naming, is making a decision once you have lots of ideas. And that's really reflecting back to the criteria, which names work best in your particular criteria. And then starting to look at, okay, so what names, if we look at competition, how much competition is there? So we can look at the USPTO.gov, which is the Trademark Attorney's Office, look through, are there like 900 names that you're competing with, or are there nine? And also just like general landscape searches. So are there names in your space that are conflicting? And then also what just general competition for that word is there in the broader marketplace? Are there some really negative connotations that you don't know about? Sometimes those can be overcome, but you certainly don't want to be surprised by them. And so I guess to break it down, it's the three big things are developing a criteria, developing lots of ideas, and then cutting those ideas down to a couple of strong candidates.
Well, when you say it like that, it's pretty easy.
That sounds straightforward, doesn't it?
Hey, On Brand listeners. We talk about a lot of brand-building topics here on the show, from developing strong brands to brand stories to building engaged superfans for your brand, both internally and externally. If these are topics that you're working through or struggling with, I'd love to help. I regularly schedule one-time or ongoing brand coaching sessions with clients based on their unique needs. Are you building a new brand? I'd love to help. Struggling with rebranding? I'd love to help. Do you want to create an engaged community around your brand? I'd love to... You get the idea. I've worked with clients of all shapes and sizes, from Fortune 500 companies to small businesses and startups. I've also interviewed hundreds of experts right here on the On Brand podcast and written two books. I can apply all of this to the challenges that you're struggling with. To learn more about working personally with me, Nick Westergaard, go to nickwestergaard.com, that's Westergaard with two A's, or email me at nick@branddrivendigital.com. Now back to the show. So one thing that you said in your organizational hierarchy there. You talked about the divergent thinking at the middle stage there of generating lots of ideas. You talked about types of names. And that's something that intrigues me because I feel like there are different types of brand names, but I'm not sure. I've thought about kind of what those categories are, how they work. Do you have an easy system for cutting those or for sorting out those different buckets?
Yep. So what I do is like the boring part of naming is starting the spreadsheet. So I fire up a spreadsheet across the top. I put the different types of names to ensure that I'm thinking across categories, because inevitably people are drawn towards certain types of names. You know, if you really love history, maybe you're drawn towards people and place names. You know, personally, I really like obscure words or metaphors. So I'm kind of thinking more in the real word category. So across the top, the categories would be, the first category are real words like Apple and Amazon, those sorts of things. So they tend to be, they tend to have a little more competition, but also they come with kind of this rich meaning landscape that you can use as a jumping off point. The second one will usually be foreign language words. I'll also look at made up words like Skype. Compound words, which are just taking two words and putting them together to create something new. So words like face and book mean one thing, and when you put it together, it feels like something different. There are also blended words like Pinterest, where the word pin overlaps the first syllable of the word interest. And so you get this idea of like, oh, I'm pinning my interests. And that's exactly what the platform does. Let's see, what else is there off the top of my head? Affixed words like Spotify, Shopify, Napster, those sort of things that sometimes work, but they tend to be a little trendy.
Yeah.
But let's see, people, place, that often works, can work really well. So those are some of the categories. In the book, it lays out 7 or 8 that you can put across the top of your spreadsheet to make sure when you're generating ideas that you're not thinking of just one type, but you are thinking more broadly. And, you know, in your brainstorming, you might have a great word that's too generic to be a name of the business. But, you know, maybe you have, you know, some, you know, you might have Spanish ancestors. And so if you translate it into Spanish, maybe it works, or, you know, whatever. You kind of get the idea that maybe the word's too generic, but if you combine it with another word, it could it's something that's there's kind of like magic that can happen, and it happens, and it's surprising when it happens. You're kind of like working along on lists of generic words, and you put two together, and all of a sudden it stands out and becomes something totally different. It's an interesting thing.
Yeah, I mean, it makes me think of an obvious example of Tesla. And, you know, you've used someone else in history's name, but rather than just kind of randomly, hey, you know, I really like Tesla's work ethic or something personally, it's this idea of then bringing in that person's story into the brand story in a very relevant way as well. So like you said, I think that's some of that magic.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it can work as the initial hook for that story sometimes, and I think that's when a name is especially strong, is when it doesn't just symbolize the product or service, but it symbolizes something deeper that's more resonant.
So this was bound to come up on a podcast about naming, and you know, it's the as we're recording this here, there's, you know, it's the month of presidential debates going on, so I feel very formal in all of my question asking. So I'm going to next ask you a 2-part question, and as a naming expert, what are some of your favorite brand names and why? And then let's talk about some of your least favorite brand names and why.
Right.
So the good and the not so good.
Great. So in the presidential tradition, I'm going to acknowledge your question and talk about
it. Are you going to ignore it?
Anyway. Yeah. So on favorite, I tell this story in the book. I'm hesitant to talk about my favorite brand names because it does get back to that same idea of like, ultimately it doesn't really matter what I like. It kind of matters what works.
Yeah.
But I do tell a story of a brand name that I like, and it's kind of a funny story. So it was two or three years ago. One of my sons had this, he was making these like bracelets and necklaces. He was 5 or 6. And, he had this idea. It was coming up. It was about this time of year, and it was coming up on Christmas. And he had this idea that he would make this jewelry and then sell it at a local market. There's kind of like a local Christmas market. And I knew the person running it. So I was like, okay, I can probably figure out how to set this up. It'll be a fun family project, good experience, you know, start to experience what business is like. And then we started working at it, and he kind of conscripted us all into labor, and I was sort of a reluctant necklace maker, but I was like pretty excited for when it was time to name the business and create the signage. And so eventually, and his name's George, I was like, all right, George, you know, it's time to name the company or the business, the shop. And I'm pretty excited about it. What are some of the things that, what are some of the ideas that you have? He's like, oh, I don't need any help. I already have a name. And I was like, oh no. And he's like, yeah, it's called George's Jewels. And I was like, George's Jewels. Okay. And so I think that's an especially good name for a couple of reasons. One, I think, you know, of course the repeated G sound. Mm-hmm. And then there's a bit of double entendre and the shock with George's Jewels and the idea that it's totally unself-conscious. And he's making jewelry. So it works on all of these levels, and it's such a strange name. And then he, at the end of the day, he wanted to donate all of the proceeds to, this local refugee resettlement agency. And so we all got out there and hustled up, and I think he made $200 or $300 from these necklaces, and we were able to donate it. So that's my favorite brand name story.
Well, that's a great one. And, you know, Will, this does not get you out of the brand that has made you smile later, but that's certainly, I think it's a neat story too, because it makes you smile, and it's relevant. I love mm-hmm. It has simplicity to it and also sophistication, in that when you first hear it, it does make you raise an eyebrow at how it sounds. But no, that's great. All right. So what about the not so good? Who's on your list? You got to have a list.
So I talk about this example too in the book, and it's an example that I give of a name that I don't really like that much, but that ultimately works. And so it's one of those examples of like, as a namer, I kind of have to get past myself. I mean, there are lots of names that I really don't like, and there are examples like pun names, for example. You can, if you look up pun brand names, I mean, you know, you can go down the like Bread Zeppelin and like Walk With Me sort of thing all day long, and they're just awful. But those are kind of like, I'm stepping past those into like real names. And so there's an example. I was walking through the back, this again, of course, I guess because of my, everything kind of relates to my kids right now. It seems like all anecdotes kind of echo back that way. And so I was walking through, about a year ago, walking through the grocery store in the freezer section, trying to think of something to send to them. Send with them to school back when they went to school, which was right. A great time.
Oh, I remember that.
It was, yeah. I remember when my problems used to be, what should I send to school for lunch? That was, I just had no idea. So anyway, I was walking through the grocery store, and as you can picture, you know, a kind of a large grocery store, there are, I don't know, like 100 freezer doors worth of things that you could potentially buy. And so the task is pretty daunting, and I'm kind of just like wandering along, and I stop and I happen to stop in front of a freezer door with burritos, and I'm like, okay, frozen burritos, like everyone likes burritos. Surely I can find something in here. And the brand that's right up front it's the name caught my attention because it was like one of those, like, it was strange enough to where I had to give it a second look. And the company's, it's spelled EVOL. And so I initially looked at it and I was like, evolve, like evolve. And then I kind of like looked at it again and I was like, no, it's evil. But why would a burrito company be called evil? And then I looked again. And if you look at the typography, the E is rendered backwards. And so it makes you kind of want to read it backwards. And I was like, oh, love. But then, so I'm still kind of shaking my head, trying to understand. But then I'm like, okay, organic, non-GMO. Sure. It sounds like they'll probably eat this. And so while the name, it's one of those names that I think is trying to be a little too clever and a little too cute. And so it ends up being a little confusing. But out of the sea of choices, I stopped. I looked at it. I kind of like scratched my head a little and I was like, oh, whatever, I'll buy the things. And so ultimately ended up working because out of all of the choices, you know, I purchased a handful of their burritos.
Well, that's, again, an interesting story. And I bet that, like you said, when you talked about the too cute factor, I bet there's a really long, somewhat involved story that goes with that, that all makes sense in someone's head, but led to a sort of confusing moment there.
Yeah.
Well, that is fascinating, and knowing the great and not so greats, the whole spectrum of naming. We talked a little bit about smiles with George's Jewels, but Brad, as we start to wrap up here, what is another brand that has made you smile recently, for naming reasons or otherwise?
For naming or otherwise, this one is probably otherwise. There's a startup here. We're talking from Lexington, Kentucky, and there's a startup here called App Harvest, and they're an Eastern Kentucky startup. They had this observation that the person who goes to a regular grocery store to buy a tomato shouldn't have to buy a tomato that's been in a, you know, a boat and a airplane and a 18 wheeler for up to a week before it gets to them. And so it's this idea that could they remedy this problem? And so they set about building some of the largest greenhouses in the world, in Eastern Kentucky. And just recently they've had some great successes in addition to, getting the greenhouses built, but also partnering with an organization and going public. And so it's really exciting that a company that's a B Corp, their mission is really strong to improve people's lives. And through this basic way, by getting, you know, kind of non-GMO, non-pesticide tomatoes to people that are fresher and taste better. And it makes me smile to hear success stories like that, in a time where there's a lot of not great news. So that was something that made me happy recently.
Yeah. I mean, again, like you said, with the news, what it is today, getting fresh food to people faster is a little thing to be happy about, and certainly to smile. Brad, where can folks go to learn more about who you are, what you do, and most importantly, the naming book?
Yeah, so you can go, you can learn more about Bullhorn and me at bullhorncreative.com. We're also Bullhorn Creative on most social places. In addition, you can find out more about the book at thenamingbook.com, which was one of the criteria
thinking that. I'm like, oh, that's got to be a criteria there. That's a good name. Does he have the URL? Yes, he does.
Yeah.
Well played, sir. Well, and
you can get that kind of anywhere you would normally buy a book.
Yeah, absolutely. And we will link up to all of that in our show notes at onbrandpodcast.com. Now I'm thinking of my own naming criteria with the podcast, and I'm sure that had to be part of it. Well, Brad, thank you for being on brand with us.
Absolutely. It's great to talk.
And if you like what you're hearing, if we've made you smile, remember to subscribe to the show via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, another one of those IFI names, or wherever you like to listen. And please take a moment and rate and review the podcast to help others find the show. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.